fighting for America.
You put a Democrat in the office of governor of Idaho, and things will change within 90 days.
Well, yeah, we'll all be worse off, Steve.
Hold on.
Fighting for Idaho.
By the way,
what part of socialism? What part of socialism is not Otter part of?
You know, this is such an optimistic.
Healthcare.
This is such an optimistic.
Healthcare.
Tom,
he gave us
Tom.
Fighting for you.
Gun-toting Pat, what do you have to say here? Hopefully, it's more. Hey, hold on, you have to speak into the microphone.
I said if BS was concrete, you'd be a superhighway.
Voices Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, 49 degrees in Nampa. Kevin Miller with you here. Josh Withrow joining us from FreedomWorks. Josh, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
So here we are, the state of America. We get ready for the midterm elections. Where are we? What are your thoughts?
You know, right now, being in the home stretch, it's going to be a pretty interesting Tuesday night trying to figure out what's going on with these Senate races. But I think it's looking pretty good for the Republicans right now, if not necessarily for conservatives. But I think it could end up being one of those things where we may not actually know who's in charge of that Senate until a couple of runoffs run themselves out. So we may not know until December, or if Georgia gets really close, even January, who's in charge.
Well, you see through all the spin. You have offices everywhere. How do you see this playing out? I mean, you listen to one network, and it's the Republicans are going to take the Senate, and it's going to be the end of the world. You listen to another, then they're not. Back and forth here. I'm just wondering, how do you see this playing out objectively?
I mean, I think the Republicans have every opportunity in the world to take over the Senate. I think that they have the disadvantage of having run a number of extremely weak candidates in seats that should have been theirs to win. But at the end of the day, I just think there's too many things going against the Democrats right now. They're having to run up against their president's agenda, which is increasingly unpopular. They still have new waves of cancellations under Obamacare that are going out in some of the states where some of these key elections are taking place. And so I think a lot of the Democrats are running against the tide here, and so I think that's how this is going to end up turning out in favor of the Republicans.
Well, you take a look at that. Does that mean that it's going to be better if the Republicans take over?
It depends on what they choose to do. If they choose to do what they kind of did in 2011, 2012, which is do a couple of symbolic things and then say, well, we don't need to do anything too bold because, well, you know, if we do anything too bold, that might screw us up in 2016, then, you know, nothing will change. Nothing will get done. If they decide to say, you know what, you know, if we can at least focus on a few agenda items and get them on Obama's desk and sort of dare him to veto some of these common sense reforms, then I think they could actually make an impact, at least for 2016, and maybe even get a couple of things through that would benefit us in the short run as well.
Well, again, it comes down to whether the Republicans will stand on principle. You know, at FreedomWorks, you take on a lot of folks. You always go to the crux of the big issues. What are you guys working on right now?
I mean, right now, I think our big focuses have to do with obviously healthcare. Obamacare continues to be, you know, one of our main issues. We're also working a lot in the areas of things like digital privacy, reforming the government spying programs and civil liberties, and that's one of those interesting areas where you're seeing a certain amount of actual bipartisan focus to try to get some of that done.
That's easier said than done, considering, you know, where we are, continuing resolutions, Ebola, a lot going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, we've been keeping a careful eye on the lame duck session of Congress, where we're a little worried that that Congress may try to tinker with some of the funding numbers in the government, maybe try to edge up the spending a little bit, and then also worried that they may try to do things like use the lame duck session to pass a long-term reauthorization of the Export-Import Bank. And the other thing you have to look out for is the possibility they may try to put through an internet sales tax as well. So lots of things to worry about and lots of things to keep your eye on.
How big of an impact would that be on the economy if they did the internet sales tax?
I think it would be pretty unfortunate if they passed this so-called Marketplace Fairness Act the way that it's implemented now, because it basically fundamentally changes the relationship between states and citizens with regard to taxation, because it lets states collect internet sales taxes from citizens of other states from businesses in other states. It's essentially states exporting their tax policies to other states, which would be a terrible way to set this thing up.
Yeah, and again, you look at e-commerce and everything else, that's all we need is to muck it up like we've done the brick-and-mortar stores. Why would they do that?
At the end of the day, I mean, by essentially exporting their tax collection to businesses in other states, that way the institutions collecting the taxes for them aren't subject to actually vote the people out who are actually passing the taxes. So in some ways, it kind of subverts this idea of state tax competition. In a system where states only collect taxes from businesses within their own borders, people can choose to shop in other states or move to other states, and that wouldn't be the case anymore under the Marketplace Fairness Act.
Yeah, it's always these acts, if you will. Now, most folks are really worried, and Josh, you at FreedomWorks have been working on this for quite some time, the economic, social, medical impact of Obamacare. Where are we with that?
It seems like every time you think that Obamacare has done its worst bit of short-term damage, something else ends up popping up, and so you're going to start seeing over the next few months the next wave of its adverse impacts. So premiums are going to be going up for not as many people as last year, but for a lot of people again, and in some states still by double-digit percentages. You're going to be seeing another fresh wave of cancellations as more businesses start to decide. Maybe last year they decided to hold on to their old health care. This year they'll go ahead and send more of their employees into the exchanges. And then you're starting to see a lot of the people who actually got their health insurance through the exchanges and the people that Obamacare really is supposedly helping right now, you're going to see a lot of them having some frustrations with re-enrolling in their insurance. And you're going to start seeing a lot of them are starting to realize that this health care that they're receiving isn't exactly what they expected it would be. The deductibles are higher, and it's not nearly as affordable as the law made it sound like it would be.
Yeah, and again, you have people that have done nothing wrong. You have done nothing this, and your health care is taken away from you.
Yeah, I think one of the key lessons to be taking out of some of the problems with Obamacare right now is there's a difference between having health insurance and having affordable quality health care. The two things they're not incompatible, but they're not the same thing. And so a lot of people are being given this subsidized insurance and are finding out that they're losing their doctors, or even if they get to keep them, they can't necessarily afford some of the same things that they were able to afford before Obamacare. So it's hurting as many people as it helps.
Yeah, and again, we take a look at this and we wonder here at 580 KID and across the country, the challenge it's going to be for businesses to deal with this, and the challenge, we've already covered the challenges for people. What other issues are you working on at FreedomWorks?
One of the other things, I mean, it's in the news right now. Just published a new piece on the CDC and its mission creep. And it's kind of an interesting topic because I think most people, including myself, before I did this research, thought that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, a lot of people don't realize that's also in its name. We always thought that all they did is sit there and research diseases and ways to prevent diseases, infectious diseases from spreading. But it turns out that out of their $6.6 billion per year that they get funded, a good portion of that money is going to other sort of politically motivated non-disease causes. So they're spending their money on gun violence, obesity, even things like environmental health, which they literally define as everything around us, including the air that we breathe. None of this stuff has anything to do with preventing or controlling the spread of infectious diseases, which is what they used to be good at. And it's just a classic example of how if you give the a bureaucracy an unlimited mandate and unlimited funding, it will expand its mission way out beyond anything it was ever intended to touch.
Well, Josh, we appreciate it. If people want to get in touch with FreedomWorks, what can they do?
We encourage you to check out our information at freedomworks.org, and we'll be continuing to put out lots of new stuff, especially on healthcare, in the next few months.
Unfortunately, I think you're going to have a lot of information.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're right.
Thank you, Josh. Take care.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, Josh Withrow joining us here. Kevin Miller in the morning at 580 KIDO. And now it's time to hear from you, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. You've heard Maggie reporting all morning long, those of you that have been with us for a while, of the situation in West Ada. Although West Ada sounds so big, if you will, West Ada, The Meridian School District, really. And I guess, you know, you look at that, you got Star, you got Eagle, you got here, you got there. But you, here's the story. You have a mother who's very upset that a program designed to help, well, keep their kids healthy in school, you know, had her kid get a flu shot. And this is a third grader. Apparently, she was vaccinated without the mother's consent. Now, as you can say, I had somebody email me the other day, Kevin, you don't sound too happy today. I'm fighting a cold. And you know how it is when you fight a cold. You think it's no big deal, so you stay up and do things. And I went to bed last night early and had my neighbor Robin say to me, maybe you should get a flu shot. And I go, I don't believe in flu shots. That's just my thing. I think that everyone listening, if you're worried about your health, make sure you get a flu shot. And then I noticed that wherever you go, people push flu shots on you. Now, if you want to get a flu shot, I recommend our friend Charles at Portico Pharmacy, $10 flu shots. I was at a medical facility the other day, and somebody came up to me and said, hey, you want a flu shot? I go, I'm not here for a flu shot. Well, do you want one anyway? No, I don't want one. So here you have the situation with the Meridian/West Ada School District. Said it was a mistake in the pilot program and one they're going to make sure doesn't happen again. Apparently, the propaganda emanating is it's making a difference. They give the mist to the students. They had 6,000 fewer sick days. This year, the district expanded to the to 10 schools. Now, here's the deal on this. Who's running the schools? The administrators that mean well or the parents that want to make sure that their kid does not have a flu shot? I think it's within the rights of the kids. My deal is if you don't want your kid to have a flu shot, the kid shouldn't have a flu shot. Now you're going to have other people saying, look, with all these communicable diseases, your kids have to be immunized. And you're right. You know, you go to public school, your kid has to be immunized. Apparently, the mother was very upset. She wanted answers. Apparently, the 8-year-old doesn't have any health problems, but is concerned because she could have. It could have been put, the 8-year-old could have been put in danger. And again, I think it's a parent's right to say, no, we don't want to do this. We'll do it at our private doctor. We won't do it at all. In fact, I think that we all should be liberated when it comes to the medical community. Think about this. Think about the scam that is modern day medicine. And I know this firsthand. I went to a place and they said, look, you've got the disease where you can't sleep. And I said, really, the disease that I can't sleep? Sleep apnea. Do you know anything about it? Well, yeah, I know everything about it because I've read the propaganda. And it was Liberal Steve that got me into this thing. He goes, you should go there. You'll sleep soundly. It'll be the best ever. And so I go to this place, and they're nice people. Just like everywhere else you go, they ask for your insurance card. I think they asked how I was doing the first time I was there. And then I get all these questions, and they said, well, you look like a good candidate for this program, the sleep study program. And I go, okay, that's great. I'd like to get in. Well, we're going to have to see if your insurance, if your insurance approves of you going into the bed. And I go, what? I pay for this Rudy Poo Mamby Pamby insurance. I should have a right to go to the sleep study if I want to have the shadow people looking at me and putting strange objects on me in the middle of the night. I want that. And they said, well, we're going to have to go to your insurance. And I said, all right. But maybe you can do the home sleep study if you want. I go, why would I do that? Well, it's a lot quicker. Well, this is a hard medical condition. When's the quickest you could get me in? January. Huh? January? So, you know, you want to sleep better. Obviously, there are conditions. But what's the answer? Lose weight, fatty. Not talking to you, talking to myself. Sleep more. Drowsy. And eat right. And you talk about getting rid of the high-priced pharmaceutical propaganda that we live in, the high-priced regime that runs us with, oh, you better get this medicine. You better get here's a pill, bunkie. And I'm just thinking to myself, whether it's a flu shot or anything else, do we really need all this? Do you need to be over-medicated? Do you believe that we are over-medicated? I believe that we are. Here's a happy pill, Timmy. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Let's talk. Time for traffic now.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
8:25, Kevin Miller in the morning here. We go to Chris in Caldwell. Good morning, Chris.
Hey, Kevin. The only upside for the Meridian traffic is I get to listen to you longer.
Well, thank you.
I know. I wanted to beg and implore anybody who planned on staying home that was going to vote Republican, and because I got to tell you, the media has successfully, what's the term, branded, demonized. Please go vote. Please vote. Make a difference. Okay? That's all I got to say. He gets me upset what they've done.
What do you mean?
Well, as far as people, there's nobody they want to vote on the Republican side or other than Democrat. You know what I'm saying? For whatever reason, they don't like them. What they heard was either negative. So, and I got to tell you, I'm not really up on the local, but I'm talking federal at least. Because I got to tell you, Boise, I've been here for 5 years, and the Boise politics confuses me sometimes because you actually have conservative Democrats in this area. Is that right?
That's what they call them.
Yeah, well, so all I want to do is beg for the people that didn't feel like voting or not going to vote, please go vote.
All right, Chris, thank you.
All right, man. Thanks.
Bye-bye. Enjoy the traffic. Liberal Steve at 580KIDO.
Hey. I got to get some sleep. January. Hey, I tried to tell you, man.
And we won't mention that. I do have a doctor's recommendation.
And it's January?
Yeah, and we won't mention the name of the place, but what a ripoff.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I'm feeling for you, dude. Get the flu shot, Kevin Miller. Don't be stupid.
Why?
Because rather than get the flu and possible pneumonia and other types of infections,
sure.
Get the shot. You know, this isn't Alex Jones. This is Steve.
I don't know. Alex got good points about the flu shot.
Oh, he's got a bunch of lame game. And, you know, it's the same. It's just all hype, man.
I don't know. I think he's more credible than you study
right.
And the flu shot.
Oh, my name's Alex Jones, and I'm going to go stand out by the border, and I'm going to bring stuff across. You know, it's easy to make people look bad because it's such a large world. It's so easy to make money and have all these fools send us money. Come on, Kevin, get the shot. I'm worried about you, dude.
Well, thank you, Liberal Steve. I'm worried about you.
And you stay fired up. Got my shot. I'm over 60.
I think actually you gave me a cold the other day, too. Thank you for that.
I did. I didn't use any tongue on that kiss.
Thanks for that, Liberal Steve.
You stay fired up, man.
You too. Our great friend Liberal Steve, the kissing bandit. Tea Party Bob with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO. Boy, how do you respond to that?
Well, you better stop listening to him and start listening to yourself about all of this sleep apnea stuff, because it doesn't appear like you're going to be able to get it until January anyway.
You know, that's to me the whole thing about, well, you better get in, okay, and it's going to cost you, okay, then if it's that life-threatening, then why January? Well, we're backed up, punk! Okay.
Well, you seem to be perfectly healthy every time I see you.
I'm doing better than the government. I've got a surplus instead of a deficit.
You certainly do. And so do I. I was just wanted to touch base with the friend of yours that you had on for Freedom Works. You know, as we come around to enrollment time for the state health care exchange, we're going to find many Idahoans and citizens around the country who are going to lose their old policies. Because they don't meet the Obamacare requirements. And they're going to find their premiums going up between 20 and 100%, while the deductibles are going to go to much higher levels than anybody expected. You know, if you want to kill an economy, this is an economy killer. If you have to spend more money on health care, you have to cut back elsewhere. Just like when gas prices go up, it's a tax on the economy.
Well, so much for DirecTV.
Yes, I know. But there is a beacon of light. You know, there are three court cases that have gotten to the circuit court level and are only one step from the Supreme Court. These lawsuits are arguing against the subsidies for Obamacare. If they win, this could be the killer for Obamacare. A RAND study was ordered done by Obama himself, and because this would eliminate the subsidies, and raise a premium so high, people would not be able to afford the cost. You'd see millions dropping out. This would essentially kill it. So there is still hope in the air, and hopefully we'll get some changes in the next half year or so, and maybe we'll have a new Senate in there also, which might help us get away from all of these problems we've had with Obama. Kevin, you're doing a great job. Thank you very much for everything you do, and keep KIDO 580 going, buddy.
Tea Party Bob, thank you, brother.
Have a good day.
You too. We go to Violet in Nampa at 580-KIDO. Hello, Violet.
Hi there. I was just calling about the flu shot. And several years ago, somebody that worked in the governor's office sent me an article by Russell Blaylock, and he's a neurosurgeon. He says it's insane to get the flu shot. That's the term he used, so yep. I just wanted to pass that along.
Now, do you get the flu shot or not?
No. In our family, it was a joke because we had relatives that got the flu shot and seemed like they were sick all winter.
Yep.
And occasionally, we might get the flu, but I think I can count on – I'm 60, and I can count on one hand the times I've had the flu through my entire life. I don't think I've even had it five times. But anyway, Russell Blaylock says it's insane to get the flu shot. That's what he says.
Violet, thank you.
Yes.
Patriot Ray with Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO.
Good morning, Brother Miller.
Good morning, sir.
You know, there's an ad going on the TV right now. I believe she's running for Secretary of State.
Oh,
about how she's
Holly,
made it
what's her name?
To vote.
Yeah. Holly, what's
yeah,
her
Holly.
Name? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, how she's made it easier to vote. Why do we need to make things easier? Shouldn't there be a little bit of a challenge in putting your vote out since it's such a drastic change in our society when we do get people we don't really care about or haven't really campaigned well or just have a lot of money behind them?
We need more nitwits in office. That's what we need.
You know, and I think it was earlier this morning I heard on the web, actually, that there was one area that has now all of a sudden, because of early voting, the Democrats are getting an edge ahead now. When before that, the Republican was like 6 to 8% ahead, but because of early voting. So how do we know on this early voting stuff that are doing it through ballots? How do we know that actual people are voting, or is it a made up number? I mean, when you've got people. That areas where they testified that there was 103% voting in an area that never had more than 40% voting. What's going on there?
Good,
you know,
good
you
points.
Just don't understand it. So have a good day. Stay fired up. We love what you do.
Thank you, Patriot Ray. God bless.
Bye.
833, Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
Manhattanity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And we're joined by Fox News' Evan Brown. Evan, good to have you with us.
Good to be with you.
Well, I think we can attest we're both Ebola free right now.
I hope so. Wouldn't want you to have that.
Or you. You know, you just got back from Dallas at Ground Zero there. What's next for the Ebola fight?
Well, first of all, the CDC has issued some new guidelines for hospitals to follow with regard to treating Ebola patients or any high-risk infectious patients, really. And that has to do with more training, more regular training, the use of training specifically in the use of the personal protective equipment, and having a specifically trained and certified person who is responsible for watching and helping you put on your gear and take it off. So this way they can be sure that you're completely covered up, including the back of your neck or your ankles or whatever, and also direct you in taking it off so that you don't come into contact with any contaminated frontal surface when you're taking it off, or you don't accidentally do it with contaminate someone else's gear as well. So those are the new guidelines, and I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the hospitals are ready to adopt them.
Well, it seems to be evolving as we go.
Well, yes. You know, CDC first said that hospital isolation is easily done and that any hospital can do it. And then it turns out that, yes, any hospital could do it, but not every hospital knew specifically how to do it or how extreme to go with regard to isolation and personal protection. So this puts a little bit more clarity on that. And I think, if anything, in the past few weeks, we've demonstrated how important it is.
Eben, for you, what was it like to be in Dallas last week with all the Ebola stories flying wild around and you in the middle of them?
Well, me personally, I felt fine. I was not inside the hospital. I was outside the hospital. I was not in contact with anyone who may have been sick. So I personally was just fine. Now, speaking with people who live there, I mean, you know, I don't think anyone was truly scared of getting Ebola, but the people I spoke to were scared about ripple effects, how it would affect the local economy, how could it would affect schools, how it would affect people's everyday lives, even if they weren't sick and no one in their family was going to be sick.
Yeah, and again, I'm sure after, hopefully after this Ebola threat is answered, we're probably going to see a lot of training and a lot of hospitals, maybe nationalized, some type of nationalized certification program.
Well, you might. You just might. Remember, hospital regulation is done really from state to state, so something like that has to come from the state.
Evan, anything else that we should be looking out for this week?
I think, you know, we've seen 40 or some odd people come off of the watch list for symptoms of Ebola. That includes the family of Thomas Eric Duncan, who passed away. This means that they are Ebola-free. They are not sick. They didn't get sick, and specifically the family that shared that apartment with him didn't get sick. So I think that demonstrates how specific of a situation you need to be in order to contract Ebola. These folks lived with him and didn't get it. I think we'll also keep watch for the next couple of weeks of the people who are on the flight with the nurse that turned out to have Ebola see if any of them get sick. But so far, everyone's checking out okay. The two nurses who are hospitalized still, or we are told, are stable and doing as well as they could, but they probably have a couple weeks' worth of treatment left. And also the cameraman who worked for NBC News in Liberia, he is expecting to come out of the hospital. He's been being cared for at the University of Nebraska Medical Center in Omaha, and he's hoping that his next tests coming forward this week will show that he is cured, or at least, she would say, recovered. If that's the case, he'll be discharged and free to go about his life.
Eben, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, our great friend Eben Brown joining us, another Nancy Grace alumni, along with yours truly, Kevin Miller. Let's go back to the phones, and we go to Pro-Life at 580KIDO.
Yeah, you know, the medical and political establishment is wrong about vaccinations. We don't vaccinate. None of our grandchildren are vaccinated, and we have real good health, the whole family. But then we eat very careful, and we do a lot of things careful.
You're in shape. You're not a fatty.
Right. You're exactly right. But anyway... people need to wake up about vaccinations. They're very dangerous. There's a thing called Vaccination Liberation. It's vaclib.org. You can go to that and learn something. But the establishment is through the pharmaceutical companies. They are feeding us a big line, and it's harming people's health. Now, my wife had polio when she was young. She got it from a vaccination. It still bothers. She still has symptoms of it today, you know, many years later. And so it's not a good thing. So I'm encouraging people to really wake up about vaccinations.
Our great friend Pro-Life, so you're with me and not getting the flu shot.
Right. Yeah, we never do that.
Hmm.
But we don't get the flu either.
Well, why do you take a look at this, and why are so many people, you know, inundated with the flu shot? Yeah, you want to make sure that nobody gets sick.
Well, it's the providers of the flu shot. They go to the government, and, you know, at school you learn you better get a flu shot or you're going to contaminate the other children. Well, now that's totally stupid, you know. It makes no sense whatsoever. But, you know, through the government, when the providers of medicines get control of the government through lobbyists, however, then this kind of thing happens. So that we just have to avoid that. People have to wake up. That's a good reason not to send your children to public school.
Fair enough, Pro-Life. You're a great American.
All right, trying to be.
All right, 580KIDO, Pro-Life with us. Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up next, is it right to raffle a rifle for a nonprofit group? We'll talk about it. Take your calls at 580-5436. Time for traffic.
You can't have incompetence with Ebola to this degree unless you were intentionally trying to spread something like Ebola.
He's a neurosurgeon. He says it's insane to get the flu shot.
Oh, my legs, I am so strong. I'm going to go stand out by the border and I'm going to bring stuff across. You know, it's easy to make people look bad.
Anybody who planned on staying home that was going to vote Republican, please go vote.
I want to know what you're thinking.
Food for your brain, Kevin Miller, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Hey, it's 8:52, Kevin Miller in the morning. And this just in from Channel 5 Plus 1. You know, I'm not even a journalist, so I don't know why I have to give my sources out. You know, journalist this, journalist that. Oh, well, anyway, we'll play by the rules even though other folks don't. How about this one? We have the Idaho State Corrections Employees Association are raffling off tickets for a rifle. Now, we've had Boy Scout troops do this. We've had, I don't know if it's been Cub Scouts troop doing this, but we've had people across Idaho doing this for quite some time. And it's a big story with Channel 5 Plus 1. They're working very hard to get some of these stories as opposed to, hey, there's a new light post on Meridian Road. So you have one person a little upset with it. So apparently Rhonda Ledford complained and basically, let's see, who works for the correction system, explained the raffles are nothing new and can remember at least 3 years ago when similar incidents occurred. Then you have the lottery commissioner responding. So I guess the big issue here is whether or not it's appropriate to raffle a rifle. I don't have an issue with it. You've got Idaho lottery official David Workman quoted in the piece on Channel 5 Plus 1. You have to be licensed nonprofit or tax-exempt entity to be able to conduct a raffle. We strongly encourage them to take the proceeds and donate them to a charitable cause. And, again, it goes on and on about this piece. But, you know, whether it's ethical, legal, what have you, I mean, what's the big issue with buying or raffling a rifle? And we have people that are strong proponents on this program that view themselves as very much conservative, very much Republican, that have issues with guns. And I think the reason why that has happened is we have seen Eric Holder's fruition come to light, even in Idaho.
We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
Now, we won't share the story with you because it involves Channel 5 Plus 1, but the issue here is people going after the Idaho State Corrections Employees Association. Now, maybe you have someone that worked there and doesn't work there anymore. Maybe you have someone who doesn't like guns, but I think it comes down to your view on this. You know, we've done dozens of town hall meetings on guns, on weapons. And it's hard to believe in America today, in Idaho, the second most gun-friendly state, according to some poll, that people have issues with people carrying guns. The sad part about this is that you have, what's the front page of the story today? Police warn of street drug danger. Well, don't warn about it. Do something about it, number one. But number two, you know, when it all goes down, do you want to be an unarmed person in a gunfight? Or are we just going to sit back and become victims? And in Chicago and in other places, you're victims. In Idaho, you see people carrying their guns. In fact, I kind of get used to it. I remember when Ronalee Lindzeman drove her, remember this one? This is what an awesome program this is, that we had a young man, I wish I could remember his name, had this brand new vet, and we had Ronalee, and they drove their cars up on the old Ada County Courthouse when we had the occupiers there. And their point was, if the occupiers are going to be there with their tents, I'm going to drive my car there. And then the state came by and pulled them away. And I remember Tom Munns showing up all the way from the Tom Munns Man Cave You know, he had his firearm there protesting and everything else. Now, there was no danger. There was no anything else like that. I just can't understand in the West why anybody would have a problem with a rifle raffle, or anyone in the West would have a problem with people carrying. That's how the West was won, right? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll continue to take a look at this story at 580-KIDO, but I'm thinking to myself, how in the world can you say that winning a rifle in a raffle is bad? Oh, it's not appropriate. Oh, it has to do this. I mean, we all need money. You take a look at the median income in the state. Everybody works. Everybody needs the cash. To make a big issue of it, well, it got our attention. So props to Channel 5 Plus 1. But on the other hand, I mean, we're not Vermont. We're not parts of California. We're Idaho. What does that mean to you? To me, it means individualism, ruggedism, Western values. And in the West, that means you're not unarmed, right? Hey, if you want to sound off on this issue or more, you can always reach me, Kevin Miller, on Facebook. I go back and forth with people all the time, 580KIDO on Facebook. By the way, I'm on Twitter. If you want to follow some of my thoughts or some of my views, Kevin Miller Show on Twitter, at Kevin Miller Show on Twitter. I'd love to correspond with you via Twitter. 49 degrees right now in Eagle. Time for traffic.